Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This is Nightmare in Wisconsin.
The trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Accusations of first-degree intentional homicide, strangulation, mutilation, dismemberment, and necrophilia.
We bring you raw, unfiltered courtroom audio from the trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Nightmare in Wisconsin.
The doctor is not qualified to render an opinion, but I don't think he phrases it that way. He phrases it as something that he viewed in other reports. So he phrases that as his review of other people's reports. I question the accuracy of his review because he mentions a condition that none of the other professionals in this case suggest that the defendant has. But to the extent that he's not going to offer a diagnosis, then I don't think there's really a Daubert relative to his qualifications. But to the extent that he's offering a diagnosis, that is something he would not be, in my view.
First thing I want to say is this is precisely what I tried to avoid with the schedule that I gave you guys. Doing exactly what we're doing. We're doing exactly what I tried to avoid doing. But I have to read it now first in order to figure out what the next thing we need to do is. So,
and what other positions have you held at the Brown County Medical Examiner's Office?
I started off as the Deputy Lead Medical Legal Investigator. I then moved up to the Lead Medical Legal Investigator and have since been moved into the Director of Operations position.
And what was your position with the Brown County Medical Examiner's Office in February of 2022?
In February of 2022, I would have been the Lead Medical Legal Investigator.
What is a medical legal investigator?
So essentially, you could see us almost as a nurse in the hospital. We're the eyes and ears for the doctor, for our forensic pathologist. So we do that initial investigation. And then that is reviewed by our chief medical examiner.
And you talked about a forensic pathologist. What does the forensic pathologist generally do?
So generally, a forensic pathologist, if they're board certified, they are the ones that actually perform the autopsies and oversee all of the investigations the office does.
At the time of this event in February of 2022, who was the chief medical examiner that you were working under in Brown County?
There was a transition between chiefs, but the medical examiner that I was working with on this case was Dr. Vincent Tranquita. I apologize for not remembering if he was the chief at the time, because there was a switch over in leadership.
But Dr. Tranquita was the forensic pathologist who was assigned to this case?
Correct.
And at the time of this event in February of 2022, which office was Dr. Tranquita stationed out of?
Dr. Tranquita worked for the Dane County Medical Examiner's Office. At the time, Brown County had a contract with Dane County for oversight from forensic pathologists, and they provided our autopsy services as well.
And that's not currently the setup, is that right?
No, we have since hired our own chief medical examiner, who is a forensic pathologist. So we are now independently performing autopsies here in Brown County.
But as it existed in February of 2022, that was the standard practice for Brown County, correct? To use the Dane County Medical Examiner's Office for autopsies?
Correct.
And talk generally about the process that you use when you are called out to the death scene by law enforcement.
Generally, it can happen in different ways, but the most common would be that the 911 dispatch center, they give the on-call investigator a call, and they let them know what they are responding to and where the address of where they're needed. Sometimes we get calls directly from detectives. Sometimes we get calls from the hospital or a hospice agency. But for scene responses, most commonly it's through the 911 dispatch center to the on-call investigator.
And on this particular day, February 23rd of 2022, what was the process for you to get called out to the scene at 829 Stony Brook?
So that morning, I believe a call was placed to our office by a detective with the Green Bay Police Department, just informing our office of the situation. That call was taken by the on-call investigator that was in the office at the time. And the policy at that, which is still in place, is that they are to then notify the lead medical legal investigator, which would have been me at that time, of such a case.
And once you were notified, what did you do?
I then tried to gather a bit more information. Things were very preliminary at that stage, and we asked to be notified once they were ready for us.
And did you receive follow-up notification from the Green Bay Police Department?
Yes.
And what did you do then before going out to the scene?
Before going to the scene, I just made sure that I had all of my supplies. We had a general understanding of what the case was that we were going to. So I made sure that I had all of the supplies I may need. And then using the on-duty vehicle, I would have traveled to the scene.
And were you or was law enforcement responsible for notifying then the actual medical examiner or the forensic pathologist?
I was actually, when I was initially notified that morning, I would have notified Dane County's Director of Operations, and they in turn would have notified Dr. Tranquita, the forensic pathologist, that his response would be needed. And we kept in touch that morning with regards to a general time, seeing that they would be coming up from Madison. We just wanted to make sure that we timed things out correctly. And obviously with law enforcement needing to do what they need to do prior to us coming, we were just waiting for that notification when they were ready for us.
And do you know about what time you arrived on scene that morning?
It was probably around 11 o'clock in the morning.
When you arrived on scene, what did you do?
I would have introduced myself to police officers on scene, and I believe I placed PPE on and entered the living room area of the residence, where there were various members of law enforcement, and they briefed me on the scene and what had what information they had at that point.
What was your understanding about the information law enforcement had collected at that point?
My understanding was that the head of a male individual had been found in the basement, and that they had reason to believe that there were additional human remains within the basement. They had informed me that they had a suspect at that time, and they informed me that there might be a secondary location for human remains as well.
And you mentioned PPE. What is PPE, and what is the purpose of using it?
Sure, I apologize. PPE would generally be personal protective equipment. So we use that both to protect ourselves as well as the integrity of the scene. So in this case, it would have been a Tyvek suit or a bunny suit, which would have been included booties, and it goes all over, and it even has a hood around your face. So, and I would have, once we went down into the basement, I would have been wearing gloves. I probably was not wearing gloves initially.
So did you make your way toward the basement of that residence prior to the arrival of Dr. Tranquita?
Correct. We tried to make the pronouncement of death as soon as possible from when we arrived. So once we gathered information, or once I discussed information with law enforcement at least, then I would have proceeded down to the basement just for a cursory view of what the situation was, as well as to pronounce death.
And were you able to do that based on your initial observations on scene?
Yes.
And again, is that something? identifying information about the person that was deceased?
Yes, law enforcement provided the presumptive identification at that point, provided a name and date of birth, and we later then also asked for additional photographic evidence of for identification purposes for comparing.
And did the deceased have any distinct marks that allowed you to easily identify him?
Yes, he had a tattoo on his... I forget which side it was, but on one of the temporal regions on the side of your head here, it would have been a question mark.
And after identification was made, what did you do? After pronouncement and identification were made, what did you do?
I would have backed out the scene and waited outside until Dr. Tranquiter arrived so that we would do the rest of our duties together.
After Dr. Tranquiter arrived, describe what steps you took at that point.
So we were working very closely with the Green Bay Police Department's Forensic Science Unit with this case. So we were moving around the scene kind of together. And the first thing that we would have approached would have been the bucket with the human head in it.
And where was that located?
It was located downstairs in the basement, just to the right as you came down the stairs into the finished portion of the basement, which seemed to be used for as a bedroom. So there was a bucket at the bottom of those stairs to the right.
Once you made contact with that bucket, or what would be essentially the first container with human remains, can you describe the process that you used in order to collect that evidence?
So we made the decision to use smaller body bags, so essentially would be infant and child body bags. So we would have placed a body bag out for the bucket. It was a infant-sized body bag with a evidence sheet laid over it. We would have then removed what we found in the bucket, individually photographed it. Once it was documented and photographed, we would have wrapped the evidence sheet up and then placed that in the body bag and closed that body bag, and then written on the body bag as to, we decided to label the body bags as to which container they were in.
After processing that first container one, the bucket, what did you do then?
We moved on to the next container, which we suspected had human remains in it. There was, I believe it's a blue bag, was the second container that we looked at from the outside. Well, let me back it up. The blue bag would have been on a dresser in front of the bed in the basement, and there seemed to be what looked like some human tissue on the outside of the bag, and so we decided to focus in on that bag next.
And did you use a similar process with that particular container?
Correct. We took the container and put it onto the evidence sheet that we had laid out with the body bag we had laid out, and we would have slowly emptied what we found in that bag while we were documenting and photographing what was found.
And once you processed the blue bag, was your attention then drawn to a subsequent container?
Yes, we then focused in on a backpack, which was a pink and black backpack that was at the bottom of the bed, the foot of the bed, on the floor. It seemed to have some blood staining on the outside, so we focused in on that bag next.
And I should ask, with respect to the blue bag as well, did you find a substantial amount of human remains within that receptacle?
The blue receptacle?
Correct.
Yes, we did find some human remains in the blue receptacle.
And then how about the pink backpack?
The pink backpack, so we would have done the same process. We had a body bag laid out with an evidence sheet. We placed the bag on the sheets, and then we unzipped, starting with the front zip to towards the back, and we unzipped each zipper and would remove whatever we found and document and photograph that.
If there are items other than human remains that are found within those containers that might have evidentiary value, what was done with those items?
So if there are any items other than the human remains, you know, the medical examiner's office, our purview is the human remains. So if there are other items of evidentiary value or possible evidentiary value, that's generally collected by law enforcement.
Okay. And were there other items of evidentiary value that were found within those containers while you were there?
Yes. We found knives in, I don't remember if all of the bags had knives, but we found multiple knives throughout the bags.
And those are items that would have been within the purview of law enforcement?
Correct. We would have taken them out. We would have photographed them ourselves. And as I said, we were working very closely with the forensic science unit from Green Bay. So they were taking photos the same time we were. And then they would have collected those knives.
So after you found and processed the human remains that were contained in the pink and black backpack, what was the next container that you noted?
The next container we moved to was a blue tote bin that was on the floor at the head of the bed, and it had a bunch of laundry I can't remember if it's clothing or blankets, but something on top of it, there seemed to be a small amount of blood on the outside of the tote bin, and so we would have moved our attention to that at that stage, and we slowly removed what was on top until we could see what was in the tote bin.
And what did you note in the tote bin?
In the tote bin, we found a substantial amount of blood at the bottom of the tote bin. We also found a torso of a human male.
In terms of the other significant body parts that would have been located within the tote bin, do you recall what was located within the tote?
So the torso with the arms attached, there would have been other fragmented remains. There was some muscle tissue and certain organs.
So those are the four containers that we've discussed already. In addition to the four containers, were there any other containers located in the room that had a substantial amount of human remains?
No. There were some other containers or some other backpacks that we peeked in, but there was no other remains found in the basement.
And so you found remains in four separate containers in the areas that were not the containers. So in general, in the living space in the basement, what were your observations about the living space?
So one of my first observations, I guess, would have been that as you walk into the basement, there really wasn't a significant amount of blood that we could see as you walked in. We would have later noted, once we moved some things off the bed, that there was some what appeared to be blood staining on the mattress, and perhaps some small little pieces of tissue that were suspected to be human tissue in the carpeted area, but there was a shower in a laundry room nearby, and there seemed to be, again, some small pieces of what could have been human tissue.
Okay. Is it fair to say that relative to the amount of damage to the body that you observed, there was not a lot of blood or tissue that was readily available outside of the containers?
Correct. I would definitely say that I would have thought there would have been more blood on the scene outside of those containers.
And from a medical legal standpoint, what is the potential significance of that?
Objection calls for speculation.
I think it calls for a professional opinion.
Foundation?
Overruled. Go ahead and answer if you can.
Could you repeat the question?
Sure. So from a medical legal standpoint, when you see as much damage to the body as you noted, but then don't see as much tissue or blood throughout the room, is there any potential significance from an investigative standpoint based on your training and experience?
There are various things that it might spark me to think. One of the things would be, did it happen here? Another thing would be, how did this happen? How did this take place in such a way that the blood was collected and not all of the blood I would expect to have been in the human body was necessarily in that tote bin or amongst the other containers. So it would just spark questions as to how this would have occurred.
Did Did you locate all of the significant body parts that you were looking for that were associated with the deceased at that scene on Stony Brook?
Yes.
Did you know if parts were missing?
Yes.
What did you know was missing from the body?
So as we were going, we were trying to make sure that at least the remains that we were finding were consistent with one person. And by the time we were done processing the human remains in the basement, we seemed to be missing a significant portion of the lower limbs.
And did you obtain any information about where those items may potentially be located?
We were informed that they may potentially be...
Objection, hearsay, Your Honor.
I'm not offering it for the truth of the matter asserted. I'm offering it to support how she later goes to a different location, how she gets there.
Overruled. You can answer the question.
We were informed that there were potential human remains in a van that had been towed by the Green Bay Police Department to their evidence storage unit.
Did you ultimately respond to that location?
Yes.
And who went with you to the evidence storage unit?
Dr. Tranquita would have been with me too, as well as various members of the Green Bay Police Department.
And upon arrival at the storage unit, did you continue to use your PPE and all of the other evidence processing techniques that you discussed earlier?
Correct. We would have used a new set of PPE once we arrived at that location.
And what did you do once you arrived at that location?
So we initially just took photographs of the outside of the vehicle. I don't believe that the police had processed the vehicle yet at all. They were waiting to do that in conjunction with us. So we kind of peered in, just noting what was in the vehicle, and then we would have opened the doors and the trunk to take a look just at a general view of what was in the vehicle.
And did you locate anything of significance or any human remains within the vehicle?
Yes. We ultimately did find a crock pot box that had human remains in the box.
Do you recall specifically what you recovered in the crock pot?
We would have recovered the full set of we would have recovered parts of both lower limbs.
And were those then collected using a similar methodology as what you described at Stony Brook?
Correct. So we took the crockpot box outside of the van. We placed that on some paper material next to our evidence sheet. And then we unpacked what was found in the crockpot box and documented and photographed that as we had previously.
And what did you do once you packaged the human remains at the scene at Green Bay Evidence?
So we would have closed the evidence sheet, put it in the body bag, sealed that body bag, and transported the remains to the Brown County Medical Examiner's cooler.
And where is that located? Or was it at the time?
Yeah, we have changed location since, but at the time we had a temporary cooler out at the Brown County Highway Department.
And once it... once it's placed in storage at the temporary cooler, what is the process for moving the remains to another location?
So while we were contracted with Dane County, seeing that all our examinations or autopsies would take place down in Madison, so Dane County, as part of their contract with us, had a transport van and an individual that was hired as a driver. So they would have come up and collected the body bags from us, and it's a cooled van, and then that's transported down to Dane County for further examination.
And I should backtrack, because I don't think I asked this question with respect to Stony Brook. What happened with the remains that were taken into the possession of the medical examiner's office at the Stony Brook address?
For the home address, we, as I described previously, we had packaged each container into a body bag each. Those smaller body bags were then all placed together in one larger adult-sized body bag, and that body bag was sealed and dated, signed, timed. The policy of our office is to have funeral homes assist with adult-sized human remains, and so we would have contacted the closest funeral home just for assistance with transport, and I believe the closest funeral home would be Blaney Funeral Home, so they came to the scene, and because usually I would follow with the funeral home to the cooler, but in this instance, when we knew we had another scene to go to, I had our morgue technician at the time. She came to the scene and then made that transport with Blaney Funeral Home for us so that I could go to the next scene.
And the information about the transportation logs that are associated with the remains, is that something that in your current role you have access to those records, and that's a record maintained in the regular course of business?
The information regarding transport?
Correct.
Correct. We do document that.
And do you know if that was documented in this case?
Yes.
Okay. As part of your work in this case, did you prepare a report?
I did.
Have you reviewed that report prior to court here today?
Yes. That appears to be the report. It would be the face sheet of our medical examiner's office report, as well as the portion of the report that is mine.
I'm going to move for the addition of Exhibit 4. Objection.
No objection.
4 is received. Mm-hmm. And could you describe for the record Exhibits 5 and 6?
Exhibit 5 is a photograph of the larger adult-sized body bag that we would have placed those smaller body bags within at the Stony Brook address. It is labeled as Shad Therian, and there are the bag appears to be sealed, as well as initials that say sealed by PS at 1506 on 2/23/22.
And the next exhibit, what is that?
Sorry?
And the following exhibit, did you describe that one as well? I apologize.
Sure. Exhibit 6 is a child-sized body bag. This would have been at the Green Bay storage unit location, which had the remains found in the crockpot box. This is sealed, and it is labeled as container number 5. Crockpot box van, and by the seal number, it says sealed by Petra at 1634 on 2/23/22.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission of Exhibits 5 and 6 as well, and I would ask for permission to publish 5 and 6 via the screen.
Any objection to the admission of those exhibits, Mr. Fralick?
No objection to admission of Exhibits 5 and 6, but I would object to publication, Your Honor. It's already been described.
Objection. You can now publish those.
Ms. Schwab, does the screen, I think there's a screen down in front here as well, is the screen accurately depict what is contained in Exhibit 5?
Correct.
And then I think if it's toward the right-hand side of the screen or the photo where it indicates the name and then the information that you indicated about the date and the ceiling, that's toward the right side of the photo, is that correct?
Correct, near the zipper there, but with the seal.
Okay. And the purpose of the seal and signature again?
It's to document chain of custody, essentially. When I sealed that bag, and then once it gets to Dane County for autopsy, does that seal tag still match? There's numbers on that seal tag. So that is documented both on scene and then again prior to autopsy before cutting that seal, they make sure that it is still that same seal that I initially had placed and they documented too.
And then the photograph that's now depicted on the screen, is that Exhibit 6?
Yes.
And again, contains the information that you indicated about what is contained inside and then the signature and seal.
Correct.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Cross-examination, Mr. Kralik.
Ms. Schwab, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Different parts of the body of the deceased were in different areas, correct?
Correct.
Some parts were at the Stony Brook Lane property, correct?
Correct.
In the basement?
Correct.
And then some other body parts were inside of a gold Town and Country minivan, correct?
Correct.
And that minivan was found in the parking lot of Eastman Avenue apartment complex?
That would have been found by law enforcement. The street name does ring a bell, but they would have towed it from that location that they found it to the storage room or storage warehouse that I responded to.
You saw the minivan at the police storage unit, correct?
Correct.
And that was with Dr. Tranchita?
Correct.
Is it Tranchita?
Tranchita.
Okay. Thank you. You were given some information as to what may or may not have happened at the 829 Stony Brook Lane property, correct?
Correct.
And you went there for the very first time on February 23rd of 2022?
Correct.
What time did you get to the Stony Brook home?
It would have been around 11 a.m.
In the morning?
Correct.
And you were let in by law enforcement?
Yes.
Who let you in, do you know?
It would have been a detective. I do not remember which. There were multiple detectives at the scene.
Did you talk to the owners of the house?
Not at that time, no. They were not present.
When you got there, you already had your PPE gear on?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
And then did you immediately go down into the basement?
Not immediately, no.
Okay. How long did it take before you went into the basement?
Probably about 15 to 20 minutes.
What took so long before you went down in the basement?
They were briefing me on what had occurred, and they were making sure that I was okay to go down there because they were processing, I believe, already. So we would just have been discussing what had been found so far, what information we had so far prior to taking me down.
So you had to be cleared, so to speak?
So to speak.
Okay. And when you went down the stairs, what was the first thing you looked at?
As I went down the stairs, I would have turned to my right, which would have been a finished portion that seemed to be used as mixed-use area, bedroom-type area. And I would have probably turned my attention to the bucket that was at the bottom of the stairs that I had been made aware of.
Okay. That's, you looked at the bucket and the contents?
Correct.
Downstairs, fair to say that if you go to the right, it's kind of like a living area where you could sleep or watch TV or hang out, correct?
Correct.
Did you see like a Pac-Man game down there, video game?
I remember some sort of console game, but yeah.
You see a round table down there?
Yeah.
And lots of clutter, lots of things?
Yes.
With regards to the bucket, what color was it?
Black.
And you did your investigation with regards to the contents of the bucket, correct?
Correct.
When you got there, had the scene been disturbed in any way from what you know?
From what I know, there was a disturbance probably when the bucket was found, but I don't believe anything else had really been disturbed. I believe Green Bay Police Department perhaps had started putting out their little evidence markers, but they hadn't necessarily removed any remains or, as far as I was made aware, removed any evidentiary items.
When you were at the Stony Brook property, did you call Dr. Tranquita?
I would have called him prior to going to the house.
Did he give you any directions on what you should do or shouldn't do?
I think the directions would have come through their director of operations, and we have standing policies that in cases where homicide might be suspected, that we go into the scene, pronounce death, exit the scene, get some basic information for them, and wait for their arrival before proceeding with any further examination.
After you looked at the bucket and the contents of the bucket, did you pronounce death then, or?
Yes.
Okay. What was the time of death?
I would have to check my report.
Was it sometime after 11 a.m.?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know of any other concerns that were in the basement after you looked at the bucket?
I was notified that they suspected that there were human remains in other receptacles or other containers within the basement.
Okay. So in the basement there was like either a dresser or a TV stand, is that fair?
Correct.
And there was a blue bag on the dresser or on the TV stand?
Among other things, yes, a blue bag was noted.
Well, the blue bag, was it a Jimmy Choo, like, duffel bag that you can zip and has handles on it?
I'm unsure what the brand name was, but, yeah, it was a rectangular-shaped blue bag with handles.
Something you could maybe put clothes in or something, correct?
Yeah.
And where was that located?
That was located on the dresser that was in front of the bed.
Was there a TV on this dresser?
I don't remember if there was.
Any evidence of drugs on the dresser?
Law enforcement had pointed out some items on the dresser that they believed to be drugs.
Meth?
I do believe that they said that they thought it was methamphetamine.
Okay. Pipes?
Yes.
With regards to the bag that we're talking about with the handles, you had gloves on at the time?
Correct.
When did you put your gloves on?
Sorry?
Did you put your gloves on? Do you remember?
What did I put my gloves on?
No, when?
When?
Yeah.
We would have put gloves on in the basement prior to touching any items.
Okay. So you had the gloves on before you inspected the black container or bucket?
Correct.
Did anybody assist you with removing items from the duffel bag?
Dr. Tranquita and I were removing the items together.
Had you ever seen anything like this before in your experience?
I have seen mutilation, but nothing to this extent before.
Never saw a head in a bucket, correct?
Correct.
After you looked at the bag on the dresser, then is that when you turned your attention to the backpack?
Yes, after the blue bag on the dresser, we would have then turned our attention to a black and pink backpack that was on the floor at the foot of the bed.
Now, the bed in this basement, were there mattresses that were stacked on top of each other, or what can you tell me about that?
I remember that they were three items. I don't know if it's two mattresses and one base versus two bases and one mattress, but three things stacked as a bed.
Okay. There was it wasn't like a headboard and a footboard, correct?
No.
Just basically mattresses, correct?
Yeah.
And you went over to this backpack, right?
Yes.
Was it an Under Armour backpack?
I would probably have to check photographs for the brand.
But it had some colors to it? Did it have colors like black and pink or something?
Yes, it was black and pink, and there was some red staining on the outside.
Why did you focus on that?
probably because of the red staining.
Okay. Did you discover that, or did someone else point that to your attention?
When we were walking around just looking at the scene together, it would have been in conjunction with law enforcement.
Okay.
And we would have, you know, tried to lift it, and it seemed suspiciously heavy for a backpack.
Okay. And the, did you have to unzip that Under Armour backpack?
Yes, we unzipped each zip from front to back and looked at the contents.
And you removed the contents from that Under Armour backpack?
Correct.
And what did you do with it?
We placed everything that we found within the backpack on an evidence sheet that was then placed into a body bag.
And you took some photographs, right?
Correct.
What were these items in that Under Armour backpack?
There were various fragments of human remains.
Tissue?
Yes, human tissue.
Okay. I think the other container you said was a blue tote?
Yes.
And where was that?
That would be on the floor at what I consider the head of the bed.
Was it by the wall?
Yes, between the bed and the wall.
Was that area of the basement kind of dark?
Yes.
The lighting wasn't very good?
No.
And there was items on top of this tote?
Yes. If I remember correctly, it was laundry items.
Blankets?
It could have been blankets, it could have been clothes, or a combination thereof.
And did you see some blood on the outside of the tote?
Yes.
Would you say it was a teal tote?
Yes.
And are you the one that took the blanket or the clothes off of the tote?
I believe we were doing that in conjunction with a detective from Green Bay Police Department.
Do you remember the name of the detective that was with you?
There were multiple. It was Detective Cassie Pakula and Phil Scanlan that were mainly assisting.
They were both there?
Correct.
Was that tote difficult to see?
No.
Would it be difficult to see if you were coming down the stairs as you get off the last stair?
Not necessarily, no.
But it was towards the back of the basement, is that correct?
Yes.
So the black bucket, the duffel bag with the two handles, the Under Armour backpack, and the blue tote, those items apparently had human remains in them?
Correct.
And you didn't know whose remains they belonged to, did you?
They had given us the presumptive ID, and especially the head, we had already, by use of that tattoo and the booking photograph provided by Green Bay Police Department, we were fairly certain that we had the correct identity. And seeing at that point that we inventory that we'd been doing so far had only indicated remains that were consistent with one human male, at that point we were comfortable that these remains were all belonging to the same person.
Who was able to confirm that? Was that done later when the remains were transported to Dane County?
Correct. That would have been a more thorough inventory of all of the fragments collected to make sure that these essentially complete a full human male.
So the full identification was not done at Stony Brook. It was done in the medical examiner's office in Dane County, correct?
Ultimately.
Okay. And fair to say that both you and the detectives had a lot of questions on what occurred and how this could occur, true?
Yes.
And everybody was trying to figure out what happened, is that true?
Yes.
Chain of custody was followed?
As far as the human remains that I was involved with, yes.
And the bucket, the duffel bag, the Under Armour backpack, and the blue tote, were those all taken from Stony Brook, from the Stony Brook Lane home, and brought to the police department for further examination?
I did not remove them myself, so it was likely removed by the Green Bay Police Department, but we, as the medical examiner's office, do not collect those sorts of items.
Okay.
Okay, nothing further. Thank you very much.
Redirect?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, you can step down. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can handle those exhibits, ma'am. You can just... Okay, thank you. State's next witness.
State Police Michelle Zarneski.
Okay, if you want to step right up over here. And before you have a seat, if you could turn and face her and raise your right hand, she'll place you under oath.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter now before the court, so help you God?
Yes.
Please have a seat and state your name for the record.
Michelle Chernesky. M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E-C-Z-A-R-N-E-S-K-I.
Okay. Now with that, the witness is yours, Mr. Saunders.
Thank you. Can you tell us how you're employed?
I'm employed with the City of Green Bay, the Green Bay Police Department, in the Forensics Unit.
And how long have you been employed with the Forensics Unit?
Almost 5 years.
And can you outline for us what sort of training you've received for your current occupation?
I have an associate's degree in forensic science. I am a certified crime scene analyst through the International Association for Identification. And I have various other trainings related to crime scenes, including crime scene photography, alternate light source, and shooting recon.
And you've been sort of working in that capacity for the last 5 years?
Yes.
So can you outline for us, I guess, what are some of the duties you're commonly asked to perform for your department?
We are asked to process crime scenes. We would photograph, do videotape, search for evidence, and collect evidence.
You kind of used the we. Are there other members of your team that you commonly work with?
Yes.
And who are they?
Kristen McMullen and Bailey Andre.
And is it commonly the case that you sort of work in tandem with those people in the performance of your duties?
Yes.
For instance, if one person's photographing things, the other's collecting it, things like that?
Correct.
All right. So then I want to ask you about February 23rd of 2022. Were you working in that same capacity on that day?
Yes.
Do you recall responding to a residence on Stony Brook Lane on that day?
Yes, I do.
Was another member of your team with you?
Yes.
And who is that?
Forensic Specialist Bailey Andre.
And what sort of information did you learn when you arrived at that residence?
That there was a body part located in a bucket.
I guess at that point, that's the sum of the information you had at that point?
Yes.
What did you do at that point?
Once the warrant was signed, I was able to videotape the exterior and interior of the scene. And then Bailey Andre did the photographs, and then I labeled the evidence.
So at some point when you're at the Stony Brook residence, are you involved in evidence collection?
Yes.
And can you outline for us what goes into you collecting an item of evidence?
Once we locate a piece of evidence, we would label it with either a evidence placard, or if it was a swab that needs to be collected, it would be labeled with a sticker. So each exhibit collected would have its own separate number or exhibit. Then it would be photographed, and then it would be collected.
And what sort of outfit or attire are you wearing when you're collecting these items of evidence?
We had a Tyvek suit on and rubber gloves.
And that's commonly in your practice what you wear during processing crime scenes?
These type of scenes, correct.
All right. And you did so in this case, too?
Yes.
So you mentioned part of what you were doing was collecting items of evidence. Were you also taking swabs of various surfaces as well?
Yes.
And what sort of areas did you swab in this case?
if we located any kind of red substance that could possibly be blood, that was swabbed.
Okay. And did you collect a fair number of those swabs in the basement?
Yes.
Those were items that you were responsible for collecting and maintaining?
Correct.
Can you generally for us describe the process of what we mean when we're using the word swab?
It's a like a Q-tip with a cap on it. It's in a separate package, so each swab is individually packaged. It's sterile. We typically have an assistant help us, so if I were swabbing, I would have clean gloves on and I would not touch anything. And in this case, forensic specialist Bailey Andre assisted me with collecting these swabs, and she would open the package of the swab, and then I would grab it without touching anything else. She would place a couple drops of distilled water on the swab without touching the distilled water to the tip of the swab itself to prevent contamination, and then I would swab the area of interest.
In addition to collecting those swabs of various surfaces, what sorts of items of evidence did you collect as well?
I collected a Clorox wipe container, a Pantene shampoo container. There was two dog choke collars I collected, a wooden box, a dildo, a shout bottle.
I guess as you're kind of going through the scene, does it become apparent certain items of that are located in the basement may have some evidentiary value?
Yes.
I want to ask about some of those in particular. You mentioned there were two dog collars that were located.
Correct.
And were those items that you collected and took into evidence?
Yes.
Exhibit 7.
Yes, I do.
And what do you believe that to be?
It's a silver dog choke collar located on the bar table.
And how do you know that's what's contained in that envelope?
My evidence description.
Are there also various initials on the packaging as well?
Yes, there is.
And what do those signify?
My initials and then the date it was collected.
For instance, MMC, does that refer to yourself?
Correct.
And you noted there was an evidence description. What does that information signify?
It lists the evidence placard from the scene that I had placed next to this exhibit. It's my description, and then the location where it was located.
I'm also going to show you Exhibit 8. Do you recognize Exhibit 8?
Yes, I do.
And what do you believe Exhibit 8 to be?
Silver dog choke collar chain.
And how are you able to determine that?
Again, it has my description, my initials, and date.
So both Exhibits 7 and 8 were those items that you collected from the basement of the Stony Brook residence?
Yes.
And then once you collect an item of evidence, what happens to it?
It is placed in the evidence submittal room in a secure area.
Do you maintain custody and control of those items?
Yes, until it's placed into the locker.
All right. So you take an item of evidence from a location, kind of keep it in your custody and control until it's entered into the evidence room. Is that fair?
Correct.
Okay. You went through some of the items that you collected. When you were in the basement of the Stony Brook residence, did you also collect items that were determined to be knives?
Yes.
Okay, and do you recall approximately how many knives were located in that basement?
There were six of them.
Okay. Do you remember where they were located?
I located three of them in one of the bags, two of them in the pail, the black bucket, and then one of them in the teal tote.
Okay. And those six knives, were those items that you collected as well?
Yes.
Recognize exhibit number 9?
Yes, I do.
And what do you believe that to be?
It's a knife with a silver blade and brown wood handle with red substance.
And is that an item that you collected?
Yes.
And if you recall, where was that knife collected from?
This was collected from a Jimmy Choo bag that was located on a TV stand in the basement.
And is that an item you collected from the basement and entered into evidence as well?
Yes.
Apart from your sort of description of what's contained in there, are there any other unique identifiers that helps you classify what that exhibit is?
Yes, it has my computer number, which is 543.
Okay. And then is that sort of a way for you to identify this is an item I collected?
Yes. Each employee with the police department has its own three-digit code.
And what item or exhibit number is that item, exhibit number 9 specifically?
543033.
And that's sort of a unique identifier to that item of evidence?
Correct.
Apart from your time, and before I leave actually the basement, when you're collecting these items of evidence, you mentioned Ms. Andre is with you as well.
Yes.
Is she photographing essentially what you're doing?
Correct.
Okay. And apart from your time in the basement of Stony Brook, did you process any other scene on February 23rd of 2022?
Yes, I did.
And where was that?
It was in our off-site storage location.
And I guess what did you process?
It was a Chrysler minivan.
At that point, it had been brought to the your, I guess, a secure facility?
Yep.
Okay. And what did you observe or locate in the van?
We observed a crackpot box with a human remains in it. We collected several swabs from the door handles of the minivan.
The crackpot box that was located, did that contain any objects?
Yes.
And what did that contain?
I'm sorry, say that.
What did that box contain?
I believe it was human remains inside of it with some clothing.
I want to then ask about those were items we've talked about that you've collected. Was there a date that you subsequently assisted Ms. Andre with processing the specific items themselves?
Yes.
And I guess what items were processed?
The crackpot box, the Schott bottle, the Clorox wipe container, the knives.
And by process, what do we mean?
They were re-photographed. The knives were swabbed and photographed with scale. And then some items were dusted for fingerprints.
So when you're at a scene and you're swabbing a particular area, there are sometimes you do swabs on scene. Is that fair to say?
Correct.
But there are there times then where you later, with individual objects, process them further?
Yes.
Right. And that's what was done in this case?
Correct.
While counsel's reviewing those exhibits, were you the one physically processing those exhibits on that date?
On the 25th?
Yes.
I was photographing.
Okay. And who was physically doing the swabbing of those items?
Forensic specialist Andre.
But you sort of photographed the exhibits during that process?
Yes.
show you exhibits 10 through 15, and I'll ask you to thumb through those, and then I'll let me know when you're completed. Do you recognize exhibits 10 through 15?
Yes.
And what are those?
Exhibit 10 is a photograph of a Clorox wipes container. Exhibit 11 is the Schott bottle. Exhibit 12 is a photograph of the back of the Schott bottle. Exhibit 13 is a photograph of a knife. Exhibit 14 is a photograph of the knife with scale. And exhibit 15 is a photograph of the crackpot box.
Are all those photographs that you took in this case?
Yes.
One of the things you mentioned earlier on in your some of your duties sometimes, I believe you said alternative light source, is that right?
Yes.
And what is that?
ALS is a light that uses specific wavelengths to detect certain kind of materials like biological fluids, like bone, latent prints, anything that's not visible by the naked eye.
Is that something that you're trained to perform in?
Yes.
Was that done in this case?
Yes.
Can you describe when and where that was done?
It was done on the 24th in the basement.
And what specific areas were you looking at and utilizing that alternative light source method?
We used the ALS at in the shower at the basement and then also near the mattress.
And what sort of, I guess, can you describe the process of ALS in terms of, like, what are you looking to locate?
We were looking to locate any type of biological evidence, specifically blood. When you use an ALS, the blood actually will absorb, so it'll appear as a dark color. At that point, then, if we locate anything, we can swab it. It's more of a presumptive test, and those swabs will be sent to the crime lab.
Essentially, you're detecting things that you couldn't see by your naked eye.
Correct.
All right. And that was done on the 24th?
Correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ernest. I have nothing further, Your Honor.
Cross-examination, Mr. Frelick.
Thank you. When you say the 24th, are you talking about February 24th of 2022?
Yes.
And you utilize the alternate light source method to as part of your investigation?
Correct.
Tell me a little bit more detail about that. Is it a light, or what is it? What kind of device is it?
We actually had Eschwaber on Public Safety come in with their Crime Light Auto. Holly Moss is the one who conducted that. So I just assisted her with it. It's a light that uses different wavelengths to be able to detect anything that you can't visually see by the naked eye.
What was that lady's name?
Holly Moss.
Holly Moss?
Correct.
So she was the one doing the ALS at Stony Brook in the basement, correct?
Correct.
And you were there to kind of observe?
And assist.
Okay. So on February 23rd of 2022, were you called in to help with the scene at 829 Stony Brook Lane?
Yes.
Were you called by Lieutenant Detective Brad Strouf?
No, I was called by now Captain Pagoon.
Okay. And both you and Specialist Andre met up at Stony Brook?
Correct.
Did you pull up in one of those big police evidence vans?
We arrived. Bailey, Andre, and I both arrived in our crime scene truck.
Okay. That's a special truck for crime scene processing?
Correct.
You've got all the supplies in the truck?
Yes.
And you rolled right up in front of 829 Stony Brook?
Correct.
And then you met with Lieutenant Strouf then at the house?
Correct.
And then a short time later, Detective Scanlon arrived on the scene?
That's correct.
And then you also met with Patrol Sergeant Kurt Brester, correct?
Correct.
And then Sergeant Brester gave you some information about the scene, correct?
Yes.
Gave you some details?
Correct.
And then you had consent from the homeowner to kind of process the scene, correct?
Correct.
And then Detective Scanlon gave both you and Specialist Andre kind of a walkthrough of the house, correct?
Correct.
Did you just go in the basement, or did you go upstairs? Did you go in the kitchen area? Did you go through the whole house? What did you do?
I videotaped the entire house.
Okay. But when you went inside, did you go inside all of the areas of the house that you can?
Yes.
Okay. So you went upstairs, right?
I did, correct.
Okay. And you videotaped the exterior of this house, correct?
Correct.
An investigator or specialist, Andre, photographed the house as well.
Correct.
Was that the interior?
She did the interior and exterior as well.
Okay. So you both you both took video footage of, or you took the video footage inside and out, and she took pictures inside and out?
Correct.
Okay. I'm trying to understand that.
Yeah.
And then were you told that you had to wait because the Detective Scanlon was waiting for a search warrant?
Correct.
And you were told to wait until that process was complete, is that right?
Correct.
And after that, then you had the green light to go and do your investigation, correct?
Right.
At some point, Detective Cassie Pacala arrived as well?
That's correct.
So then you went upstairs and videotaped upstairs?
Correct.
Did you see anything that was concerning upstairs?
Not that I recall.
You had to turn on some lights in multiple rooms to get a better view, correct?
Correct.
And then at some point, is it fair to say that the Brown County investigator, Petra Schwab, came there?
Correct.
And also the forensic pathologist from Dane County, Dr. Vincent Tranquita, he also arrived?
Yes.
A lot of people at the house, correct?
Yes.
Did there were some cell phones on the kitchen table. Those were collected, correct?
Correct.
And then you assisted with collecting these different phones, correct?
That's correct.
One maybe was a blue one, or two blue ones and a black one?
I don't recall the colors they were.
They each had a different colored case, correct?
Yes.
And then you did some swabbing of DNAs on these cell phones, is that right?
I don't recall if I swabbed the cell phones.
Okay. You did a lot of different swabs of the door and the locks and the handles and all of that, correct?
That's correct.
You did swabs of diapers downstairs, toys, flooring, correct?
Correct.
You entered and collected different items of evidence, correct?
Correct.
Fair to say that on the floor in the basement living area of Stony Brook, you collected a black and purple pipe?
Yes.
And on a TV stand, a clear and white glass pipe?
Correct.
And on the TV stand in the basement, a green gem bag with a crystal powder?
Yes.
And on the TV stand in the basement, a Samsung cell phone, correct?
Correct.
Did you go with Dr. Tranquita and look around in that basement area as you come down the stairs and go to the right?
Did I go with Dr.?
Yes.
He was there.
Did you walk around, though, to look at things?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see a black and blue Jimmy Choo bag?
Yes.
Was that on the TV stand?
Correct.
And inside of that? What, was there anything in there?
There was bags, and then there were some human remains in there as well.
Okay. And then did you see a pink and black Under Armour bag?
Yes.
Where did you see that?
That was on the floor next to the bed.
And when you say bed, are you talking about stacked mattresses?
Correct.
Okay. And Dr. Tranquita moved that Under Armour bag, correct?
Yes.
And he was the one that removed the contents?
Correct.
Were you there when he was doing that?
Yes.
And where was that Under Armour bag, do you know?
It was on the floor.
By a dresser or a bed?
Next to the mattresses on
the floor. Okay, thank you. And did you list all of the different things that you observed down there?
Yes.
And gave them all exhibit numbers, correct?
Correct.
I think you mentioned finding a dildo, correct?
Correct.
Where was that?
I believe it was in a closet.
Okay. Down in the basement?
Correct.
So if you come down the stairs, if you go to the right, would you find it, or would you find it if you went to the left?
To the right.
To the right. In a closet, was it on a shelf?
It was in a brown box, wooden box.
Okay.
On a shelf.
Was the box open or closed?
I don't recall. I think it was closed.
Okay. Did you open it? Did you open the box to see what was in it?
I wasn't the one who located it.
You located it?
I didn't locate it.
Okay.
I was informed that it was there.
But then you went to take a picture of it, correct?
Correct.
And did you open it to see what was inside the box?
Yes.
Okay. When you photographed it, did you take it out?
Yes.
On the mattress or on the bed, was there a cell phone on there?
Yes.
Did you label that and take a picture of that?
Yes.
As far as reports are concerned, did Holly Moss do a report on the alternate light source?
Yes, she did.
On the shout bottle, did it have like charcoal on the outside of the bottle? Could you take a look at that exhibit?
Are you referencing this picture?
Yeah, that exhibit, I think it's 11. Is that charcoal or what is that?
No, that would be fingerprint powder.
Okay. What is that? Tell me what that's for.
It's to enhance fingerprints.
To see if there's fingerprints on there?
Correct.
Okay. Did you see any?
Yes.
Did you dust for fingerprints on any of these other items that have been offered in evidence, exhibits 10 through 15?
I did not dust for fingerprints this day. Forensic specialist Bailey Andre did.
Okay. Which items did she dust for fingerprints on? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. When you went to the off-site storage, was that on the same day, on February 23rd of 2022?
Yes.
Do you remember what time you got to Stony Brook?
I don't recall.
Was it in the morning or afternoon?
It was morning.
Morning? Were you done by noon?
No.
How long were you there, you think?
Quite a few hours.
Okay. Into the afternoon?
Yes.
And then after that, did you go right over to the storage unit?
We did.
Okay. And in the storage unit, there was this gold Chrysler Town & Country minivan?
Correct.
And were you told by investigators that you needed to take some photographs and look at the contents of what's inside of that minivan?
Yes.
And then you dusted for fingerprints on the van as well?
Correct.
Was Specialist Andre with you when you went to the storage facility?
Correct.
So it was you, Investigator Andre, Dr. Tranquita, and then some detectives?
Yes.
Who were the detectives that were there?
Detective Scanlon, Detective Cassie Pakula. There was a few others as well.
Detective Ruff or not?
I don't recall.
Okay. How long were you at the storage facility looking at the contents of the van?
A few hours.
Okay. Were you done by 5 o'clock or did it go after 5?
I don't recall those exact times.
It was a long day though, correct?
Correct.
And when you got there, you had to put on new PPE gear?
Correct.
And what were you told to do when you got to the storage facility?
Swab the door handles, interior and exterior, the steering wheel, search for items of interest, photograph it.
Had anybody been inside the minivan before you got there?
Not to my knowledge.
The back hatch was closed?
Correct.
When you got there, then you saw it opened?
We opened it.
Who opened it?
I believe I did.
And then take me through what you did from there, could you?
Once we processed the back of the minivan, then we went to the passenger side, or the driver side, opened the door, and I seen the crock pot box there, and we searched that and located human remains in there.
In that minivan, there was all kinds of stuff in there, wasn't there?
There wasn't too much stuff in there.
Well, there was the crock pot box, correct?
Correct.
Was there a laundry basket in there?
There was.
And then there was all kinds of other items in there, correct?
There was like a cooler in the back hatch, just some other odds and ends, but it wasn't terrible.
Clothes?
Yes.
Flag?
I'm sorry, what?
A flag?
I don't recall.
But it filled up the back of the minivan, didn't it?
For the most part, I guess.
Okay. And the minivan windows, were they tinted?
I don't recall.
Okay. But the human remains were in this crock pot box?
Correct.
And who processed that?
Dr. Tranchita removed it from the vehicle and then removed the contents from it.
You didn't touch it, correct?
I touched it initially and realized that it kind of shifted and just kind of had an instinct that there was body remains in there.
When you opened the hatch, did you know what was in that box?
The crockpot box?
Yeah.
That was in the driver's side, passenger, the middle seat.
Okay. Did you know what was in the box before you opened the hatch?
No.
You were surprised?
Yes.
Who did this minivan belong to? Do you know?
I don't know.
You didn't get involved in that, correct?
No.
And then when the minivan was done being processed, then you packed it up and you left?
Correct.
You and Investigator Andre?
Correct.
And your title is Forensic Specialist, correct?
That's correct.
Can you tell me what does that mean?
We process crime scenes, process evidence that's collected by officers in our lab. We process evidence that we collect in our lab, okay. Document crime scenes.
Take samples?
Correct.
Dust for prints?
Correct.
Are you fully trained to do alternate light source testing on your own?
Yes.
Why did you have Holly Mays there from Ashwaubenon then?
At the time that she had a better piece of equipment than we had. It was okay. More up to date.
And can you tell me about that equipment quickly?
It's called a Crime Light Auto. It has a built-in camera. So for us to be able to do what she did, we would have had to photograph things with our separate camera and use flashlights to be able to identify what she was able to identify all in one.
Okay. What is the device like? What does it look like? Does it look like a flashlight or what does it look like?
It's kind of like an iPad.
Okay.
It's got a camera lens in the front.
Okay. All right. All right, nothing further. Thank you very much.
Redirect? No. Okay. Thank you. You can step down.
Okay, thank you.
Your Honor? Your Honor?
Are you offering those exhibits?
Yeah, I can do it now.
I would move 7 through 15.
Any objection?
No.
Those will be received.
Your Honor, can we take a short break? I need to.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take an afternoon break for about 10 minutes. All rise for the adjournment.
Thank you.
You're listening to True Crime Today in the Hidden Killers podcast continuous coverage of the trial of Taylor Shabusiness, Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage.
More raw trial audio next.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino. Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino. Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Modo Casino? Modo has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Modo. I like my slots hot. Modo's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Modo Casino. Modo Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Modo, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.